Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. These rich, profound verses that we talked about so much last Sunday, I hope, have lingered with you all week. We talked about the darkness, how the despair of life in our fallen world can close in on us and block out the light. And we talked about our hope, about the promise, this declaration that Jesus, the light, shines on in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. This means that we are not abandoned by God to live out our lives alone in the darkness. It means that we're not abandoned by God to disease or to job problems or to family problems or relationship problems. It means that we are not abandoned by God to grief and pain. In Jesus, in the Word, a Messiah has been born. A Savior has come. A light shines. But it is kind of an odd and a very abrupt thing that happens next. From such a lofty cosmic poem about the beginning of all things and the enduring light of God's Son, the Word, we kind of crash suddenly to, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. It makes us want to say, hold on a minute. Can't you unpack some of that for us? What do you mean the Word was with God and the Word was God? What do you mean all things came into being through the Word? How does life and light come from this Word? You would think this gospel writer would expand a little bit on what he has just said before going on. But no, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And then, here comes a guy named John. In some ways, it's a reminder of how different a faith Christianity is. Most religions are about escaping in some way the earthiness, the grittiness, the reality, the particularity of life. Most religions are about finding a way to climb out of the human into the divine. They're about lifting ourselves up in some way, either through ritual or through good behavior, but lifting ourselves up to God. But Christianity is different. Following Christ is different. Christianity is not about making ourselves better and climbing out of our situation to get to God. Christianity is about God coming down to us. Christianity is not about casting us aside and God not casting us aside and starting over, but instead, it's about God redeeming our broken world through Jesus Christ. Christianity is not about escaping to some far-off heaven, but is instead about a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth where God will dwell with us and we will be his people, where God himself will be with us and will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Christianity is about a God who comes to live with us where we are, a God who became one of us. In this very down-to-earth mention of John the Baptist, who is not the light, but who witnesses to the light, shows how we always meet Christ through someone else. Usually it is through the preaching and reading of the Word and the celebration of the sacraments. And it also happens in Christ's light being reflected in someone's life. But it is always through someone else. We don't find the light by ourselves out in the wilderness somewhere. We receive the light because someone testifies to the light. This time of year, we often find ourselves worrying about an individual in our lives, about someone around whom the darkness is closing in. For you, it might be a close friend or a relative. Maybe it's a neighbor or a colleague. But there's probably someone you know who is battling their own darkness and not winning. It might even be a darkness that they have created themselves or that they seem to have even sought out. But even so, we worry about them. We don't want them to be overwhelmed by the darkness. We don't want them to suffer. And the temptation for us, when we care deeply about someone who is in the dark, is to try to be the light for them. Even if we're struggling with our own darkness, we try to summon whatever energy that we have to shine a little light into their lives. It can be a lot of pressure, just one more thing that we have to try to do under our own power. We can get depleted pretty quickly trying to be the light. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because no matter how hard we might try, we are not the Savior. We are not the light. Craig Barnes talks about how this time of year, some people come out of the woodwork, and he calls them pathological givers. They give, and they give, and they give. And then they tell you, and they tell you, and they tell you, and they tell him, and they tell her, all about how they're giving and how it's wearing them out. But they don't find any joy in it. And neither does anyone who's listening to them. They're trying to be the light. And that's not their mission. That's Jesus' mission. Now, this does not mean that we don't have our own mission. You don't have to be the light. All you have to do is reflect the light, testify to the light. This is where the seemingly mundane mention of John comes in this passage and invites us in. It could be there was a man sent from God whose name was Dave, or Sheldon, or Ron. There was a woman sent from God whose name was Janet, or Julie, or Carol. God has invited us into his mission through the Son, empowered by the Holy Spirit. When Christ is in you, or better yet, we should say, after spending so much time in Ephesians this fall, when you are in Christ, it is impossible to be ineffective at reflecting the light. This is because it is Christ Jesus, the true light, who shines forth. Remember the story of Moses. The book of Exodus describes how when Moses would go up on Mount Sinai to meet God and then return to the Israelites, the skin of his face would be shining, would be glowing. It's there in chapter 34. It frightened the people so much that Moses took to wearing a veil until the next time that he went to speak with God. And then he would remove the veil and go into the tent. And when he came back out again, his face would be glowing. Paul remembers this and recounts this as he writes in 2 Corinthians, "Since then we have such a hope. We act with great boldness. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed, and all of us, with unveiled faces, are seeing the glory of the Lord as reflected through a mirror. The true light bounces off all of us to people all around us. This is what evangelism, sharing the good news, is all about. Now, I know that a lot of us hear the word evangelism and shudder with fear or anxiety. Sometimes we don't like it because of experiences that we've had trying to do it, or more likely because of experiences we've had having it done to us in a not so winsome way. Sometimes we try to let ourselves off the hook by saying, hey, you know, that's personal and private. And who am I to intrude? Well, it is personal, but it can't be private. If you are in Christ, if you are like a mirror simply cannot not reflect light. Now, I understand that maybe the image that you have in your head of evangelizing or witnessing involves almost threatening or harassing someone with your beliefs. I can remember when I was a student at Indiana University, there was an older guy who liked to stand at a very busy place on campus, pounding on his Bible, haranguing people, and yelling at them about how they were going to hell. People called him Mad Max. I heard that he went around to a lot of campuses in the Midwest, so maybe some of you encountered him as well. If that's anywhere close to your image of evangelism, then I don't blame you at all for not wanting to do that. I certainly don't want to do that. But please replace that image. That's not evangelism. Does that sound like pointing to the light or testifying to the light to you? A better image is one of a beggar telling another where you found a piece of bread. If you have been hungry and have found food, is it really that hard to tell another starving soul, hey, come and see? Remember, the gospel is good news. It's not good advice. Not many people really like getting advice. But everybody likes to hear good news. An easy way to start is by inviting your neighbor to church. We have some wonderful services coming up later this month. Think about it. Your neighbors see that you have devoted your lives to this. They see you coming here every week on Sunday mornings and throughout the rest of the week. These people wonder why you have invested your lives in these things. How it is that these things sustain you throughout your life, in good times and in painful times. You haven't talked with them about it, and that confuses them. You don't have to be the light. You can't be the light no matter how hard you try. That's Jesus' job. All you have to do is testify to the light, to reflect the light. And when Jesus draws you close to him, you can't help but reflect the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Thanks be to God.